They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The economy could mean the national economy, but what about the economy closer to home? From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. The National Governors Association begins its winter meeting today in Washington. The governors are facing many economic challenges at a time of supposed economic recovery. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer reports.
The state's economies pretty much match the national picture, according to Stuart Shapiro, director of the public policy program at Rutgers University.
By and large, most states are in the sort of slow recovery that we see nationwide.
But the recovery is really slow in some places. States like North Dakota and Alaska that boomed when oil prices were high are now hurting. Then there's Nevada, where state officials are still struggling to recover from the housing crisis.
They've had the slowest growth among all states.
That's Barb Roshevitz, a research director at the Pew Charitable Trust. She says even the 22 states that have grown faster than the national average can't go on a spending spree because...
unlike the federal government, the states have to balance their budget.
Juggling the big minuses on their balance sheets, like promised pension payments to state workers and health care bills. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
Let's check the markets. The 100-share index in London is down 0.33%. U.S. stock index futures are down in the 0.2% range. Oil is down 1.8% in New York to just over $30 a barrel. The European Union's make-or-break summit has pushed into a second day now. The British are looking to change the rules of their membership, including lowering its obligations to provide social welfare programs for immigrants and deregulating banking rules. Whether the UK stays in the EU or leaves could be at stake. Mario Monti, former Prime Minister of Italy, told our partners at the BBC today that both sides would suffer if the UK abandoned the union. The UK, Monti said, would no longer have the same, quote, punch on the world stage.
There might be the illusion in the UK that the country would be more vibrant and more competitive and more flexible. But it would, I don't want to offend anybody, but to a big Ireland rather than to a real world-class economic power.
You caught that, right? The UK could become Ireland, he's arguing. And what's the rule about starting a clause with, I don't want to offend anybody, but... The summit continues. British voters could be asked this year whether they want to stay in or go, perhaps in June or in September. Now an update on VW and its diesels rigged to cheat emissions tests. A German magazine is reporting that Volkswagen won't work out a deal with U.S. environmental regulators to fix the problem before the end of March. Reportedly, the EPA wants some long-term tests of the proposed solution. The magazine suggests costs of the fix will be significantly higher than expected. Separately, a German newspaper has memos suggesting VW's former CEO may have known about the problem about a year before the company said he did. Also, a class action suit in the U.S. has been filed against Daimler, claiming some Mercedes diesels emit 65 times the nitrogen oxides permitted. The company says, A, the suit's unfounded, B, it'll defend itself, and C, it would do its own tests to see what's going on. Now to some more uplifting news involving cars. The Daytona 500 is on Sunday, along with the Indy 500, the biggest event in U.S. auto racing. And it's going to be the first race since a $400 million renovation of the Daytona International Speedway, making it one of the most connected public venues in America. Marketplace's senior tech correspondent Molly Wood is here to tell us what's inside this stadium. Hello, Molly.
Hi, David.
So why does the racetrack have to get all teched out?
The racetrack has to be connected to the internet. And in the case of the Speedway, that is a pretty serious undertaking. The entire stadium is ringed with about 50 miles of fiber optic cable. And that's all in service of connecting the entire thing for things like TV trucks who are doing live broadcasting out of there, the more than 1,200 media people who are filing, you know, constant blog updates. And then, of course, Wi-Fi all through these new redesigned stands.
I know, but, you know, if you want internet, stay home in your basement and, you know, read your Facebook there.
Yeah, that's the funny thing, actually. Increasingly, there is this idea that when fans go to a stadium, they should get to have an experience that is similar to the one that they would have watching TV or being on Facebook. The assumption is that's what we want to do. So it's personalized through all these apps. You should be able to stream. You know, at the Super Bowl, you were able to actually stream commercials sitting in the stand. So you should be able to stream replays, get access to all the stats and information, plus these apps that kind of give you directions to your seat or a coupon for a food item or a beer, maps of the stadium, or even dropping a pin to remember where you parked your car.
I mean, I guess I get some of this. I was at the Indy 500 a couple years ago, and I brought this special little radio connected to headphones so I could listen in on some of the chatter between the pit crews. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I've been to a bunch of baseball games where you've got the old timers. It's always the old timers with radios listening to the radio broadcast of the game. Because to be honest, you do get more information and you can feel a little bit cut off. And TV timeouts in certain sporting events are really boring.
There is, though, a trade-off. It'd be nice to be in the moment and focus.
Yeah, there really is. There's the question of, do people want to be staring at their phones? There's also the really big question, which is, do they really want to download these apps? And do they want to give over all of their personal information? And so that is still an open question, especially at the Daytona 500, where the audience tends to skew a little bit older, maybe not as techie, and it might be that the media gets more out of these tech upgrades than the fans do.
Also in auto racing, right? If something ever happens, it happens with lightning speed and your face is going to be in your screen when it happens.
Exactly. Pay attention, people. There's a 4-hour race happening before you.
Marketplace's senior tech correspondent Molly Wood, thank you for this.
My pleasure.
Our senior producer, Nicole Childers, digital producer, Tobin Lowe, Stephanie Hughes does Marketplace Tech. I'm David Brancaccio, the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
Oscar Gomez was a Chicano student activist in the 90s, a radio DJ and a rising star.
He was fire. He was charisma incarnate. Everyone had a crush on him.
He was a voice of people who didn't have a voice.
Until his sudden and mysterious death. What happened to Oscar? Imperfect Paradise, The Forgotten Revolutionary, wherever you get your podcasts.